Today we say goodbye to three Disney World favorites. Okay, maybe not favorites, but three attractions that have been given the boot salute by Disney. And strap in for round two with two matchups from the World Showcase Showdown as the Mexican Pavilion clashes with beautiful Japan and big favorite France has a rendezvous with China. All this and more on this week's episode of the We Like Theme Parks podcast.
Did it first.
Together forever and ever. Do the song. Together forever podcast. Weird Al's got nothing on me.
We present a spectacular festival of theme park audio commentary magic. Do We Like Theme Parks Podcast?
Yo. Bring it back now.
Wingardium Leviosa.
Welcome, foolish mortal.
We like theme parks.
Welcome, my fellow theme parkers, to the We Like Theme Parks podcast, your go-to spot for news, opinions, and other nerdy fun happenings in and around the Disney and Universal theme parks. I'm Chris Bond, Squeakers, Squeaky Squeakins. Today, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Disney Bounder, theme park fashionista, and sewing savant from the Churro Fund, it's Miriam Kenley. Miriam, what's up?
Well, not much. Sewing over here.
You just straight up sewing all day long?
Yeah, every day.
Sewing. What's the latest project you're sewing?
Oh, I'm making Kiara a denim jacket.
And we're also joined by comedian Disnerd and magnificent moustacher. Is that a word, moustacher? Because you have a magnificent moustache? It's Mark Andrada.
I feel good about this moustache. Let me tell you, I'm still getting a lot of pressure from my agent to shave it. And I am still holding firm that I will not.
Dude, so. I'm telling you, it looks good on you.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
I'm shooting a movie in September, and I am going to save it until then so that I will have a mustache in this movie, and then I will shave it off. That is my plan.
Okay, it's a fair plan. Yeah.
It's a Western. The movie's a Western, and I play a crazy chef.
A chef?
Yeah. A chef, yeah.
What do they make? Omelets? Like, what do they make in the West?
I don't know. You know, it's not specified. It's not specified what I make.
Isn't it just like...
Le poisson?
Les poissons. I'm a French chef in the Wild West.
Guys, we have a big show today. Lots of fun stuff to talk about. But we're going to kick things off with some t-shirts. Let's sell them. It's T-Public time.
T-Public presents It's Your Shoutouts.
Okay, we're going to shout out some of our friends and new friends too, including at Mrs. Gemma Catherine Wilson 23. She's a new subscriber. She loves the pod. She's from the UK. And she made it very clear, as did Christopher Perrin, that Pip Pip was not offensive. There you go, guys. So you can say Pip Pip to anybody from the UK. And it's all thumbs up. So Pip Pip, friends.
I'll say this. Don't say Pip Pip to me because I find it offensive.
Oh, well, okay. I'll be careful.
You say Pip Pip like that, I keep saying it. And every time you say it, I bristle. You know, I'm like, oh, my sensibilities, my tender ears.
Guys, don't pip at Mark Andrada, okay? Please.
Don't pip at me, please.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Mark, you got one?
Yes, I do. So this is at Disney Plus, and they are a great sort of like they're on Instagram. They're a great place, a great resource to sort of see what's happening on the Disney Plus over-the-top network that you can subscribe to. They'll tell you sort of like what's coming up this month, what's being released on what day. It's just sort of a celebration of like the Disney programming in general.
Do we have to talk about this thing and like who's supposed to be on it? Disney Plus is not our friend.
Maybe not your friend. It's my friend.
All right. Well,
do you subscribe to Disney Plus?
I pay your friend money. Yes, I do.
Okay. So then what's the problem?
Well, you made a good point. So Disney Plus, glad you're here. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Listen, a few days ago, they posted a thing of Newsies, so it's very difficult for me to...
You really don't like Newsies.
I don't like Newsies.
What's your hate on for Newsies?
Have you seen it?
Recently? No. I remember not liking the musical.
Exactly. You go and watch the live filming of that musical, and then you ask me that question again with a straight face. What's my problem with Newsies?
It's got that one catchy song. That better be a seize the day. Bom, 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 cha-cha. They don't actually cha-cha, but I added that.
I know. Everything you're saying, I hate.
All right. Good start to this show. Guys, we've got some fun stuff to talk about, and we're going to kick things off with something cool. I think it's segment time.
Segment time.
Okay, there was a big announcement about a couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, week and a half ago. And actually, it wasn't a big announcement. It was a little one. It was a quiet one. It is big in my mind's eye. And that was Disney officially have retired 3 rides at the Disney World Park. And they are Primeval Whirl, Rivers of Light, and Stitch's Great Escape. So we thought it was only appropriate for us to eulogize these 3 attractions and say goodbye the We Like Theme Parks way. Let's start things off with Primeval Whirl. Does anybody care about this ride?
Not even a bit.
Nobody's going to miss this Steel Wild Mouse roller coaster? No?
No.
No.
Well, the whole Chester and Hester's Dinorama, Dinoland USA kind of roadside attraction thing is just brutal. It's just Disney being cheap. And I get it. They ran out of money when they were making that park. And then instead of doing Beastly Kingdom, they did Dinoland USA. They had the one cool ride. Here's the thing about Primeval Whirl. I don't know if you guys know about this. On top of just the ride being trash, is that they were supposed to put another roller coaster in that spot, in that area, called the Excavator. And it was supposed to be the idea, you've heard about this, Mark? The idea that this like dig site where they're digging up the dinosaur bones. So they had this huge machine that was like this excavator, and it kind of looks like a dinosaur. And it was something kind of like Big Thunder or Seven Dwarves, but through this rickety mine shaft that had all dinosaur bones, and you'd be like flying through like literally dinosaur bones and things. And at the end, you were face to face with this excavator dinosaur monster. That sounds rad. It was going to be a big, big coaster. But instead, we got Primeval Whirl. Guys, have you been on Primeval Whirl?
No, certainly not.
You've never gone on it. Come on, not once.
No, never. Not once. Not once in my whole life. Like, I've been on a ride like that. Mm-hmm. Like the carnival ride. I've been on that type of coaster before. Yeah. But I've never been on actual Primeval Whirl. No, never.
Because it's really clunky. It's really bumpy. It's not a good ride. People have been complaining about this ride. But you got to wait 40 minutes to get on it. And it also borrows the same kind of story as Dinosaur. You know, we all know the Dinosaur ride. You're going to go on it. They're going to send you back in time. Go pick up the dino. Time travel. You know, there's going to be some asteroids. Oh, don't worry. You're going to be fine.
Yeah.
This is the same thing. Like, but it's kind of for kids. Like, you're traveling through time to go back to the dinosaur age. But what the dinosaur age there is just cutouts of dinosaurs, 2D dinosaurs, dodging like meteors and being like, look out.
Like, I didn't know there was a story to that ride at all. I thought it was just a carnival ride outside.
Yeah.
There is theming. Like if you're lining up in the queue, there's like a time machine and scientists like working on it. But it's all like 2D. No. It's all like flat. And then you get on the ride and there's no words or anything. Nobody's like, oh my God, you don't hear anything. You're just looking at pictures of dinosaurs and things. It's just ridiculous. It's so terrible.
I feel like every time I've been in that part of the park, at least the last few times, they've always played All Star by Smash Mouth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's hard for me to think like, oh, this is like there's any kind of theming here other than Carnival Midway. Because to me, that song is Carnival Midway all the way.
Yeah.
Totally. You know what I mean? There are a few songs that like that's just what that song is to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and so for you to tell me that there's a story to that ride, I'm shocked. Obviously, I've never been on the ride.
Well, there's a story to the whole land. There's a story to the land that is just so like lazy because they wanted to, okay, we're going to put this cheap thing here. How do we connect this to dinosaurs?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it's the thinking that, oh, well, the Dino Institute is so fancy. Let's set up all these roadside attractions to kind of cruise on their coattails and make some money. So you get this ridiculous roadside attraction. If you actually look, they commit, like look at the pavement. It looks like a parking lot, even with cracks in the pavement. They put those cracks there, man. Like, it's theming.
Yeah.
But it's just so like, why, man? Oh. Well, I'm glad to see this go. Hopefully the whole land goes. And I've written a little something to say a few last words. Did you guys want to say a few last words?
I'll say it after you. Yeah. There, that's pretty much what I was going
to
say.
Okay. Well, here's what I wrote. We're saying goodbye to something. A ride that was near here.
I have something now.
Okay.
Wow. Goodbye.
There it is.
Well, I'd like to say, Primeval Whirl, we lay thee to rest. You are bumpy and lame. And I still had to wait 40 minutes to get on you. Shame on me for every time I did this. Nobody could say you were dynamite, ashes to ashes, rust to rust. Indiana Jones land is a must. Goodbye. Give me Indiana Jones land. There we go. Wipe that whole thing out. Indiana Jones.
That means you're going to get rid of the dinosaur ride. You're going to put Indiana Jones in there?
I would do it. If I could get an actual Temple of Doom attraction where you go on a minecart ride that's indoors, none of this like Temple of Peril, Raging Spirits nonsense. None of this like little dinky coaster outside. Like when they originally planned for this attraction, like, we don't need to get into this too deeply, but the whole Indiana Jones thing that was originally supposed to happen at Disneyland, where it was going to be the temple attraction, which actually came in, and then another attraction, like a Jeep or minecart attraction, and then there was going to be, they were going to redo the Jungle Cruise a little bit to connect to the whole Indiana Jones thing, and the train actually was going to be rerouted through this big temple thing. So all four rides were going to converge into this Indiana Jones area. And then they just, it was too expensive. So they went,
instead, we're getting The Rock, who is the proud new owner of the XFL. Have you heard?
I did read that.
What a pile of crap.
What does he own, though? How do you own the XFL? Like, they're gone again. It's defunct. What does he own?
He spent $15 million on the XFL, which is chump change for him, right? Like, that's a movie. That's a couple of months worth of work.
Way to go, Rock. Looking forward to see the Memphis Maniacs.
Miriam is very excited. Look, you can see Miriam's face right now. She's like, "Whoo, can't wait. Okay. XFL. She got an XFL jersey on. She's got a bow in her hair that's black and red that has an X on it, like the XFL logo.
So, Mark, why don't you go ahead and say goodbye to Primeval World?
Good riddance. You were dangerous and no fun.
Goodbye.
Let's shine a light on another dead attraction. An attraction that kind of came and kind of went. Let's talk about Rivers of Light. Rivers of Light wasn't around that long. It originally was set to premiere in April of 2016, but it didn't. Instead, we got Jungle Book Alive with Magic. That kind of covered the delay, if you will. And then the show finally happened, February 2017. Then in 2018, they took out all the live performers in it. I guess they didn't want to spend the money. They like get rid of the live performers. And then they retooled it in 2019, Memorial Day weekend, and added the song We Are One, which is actually quite a beautiful song if you've heard We Are One. Now, July 2020, it's done. It's gonzo. Did any of you guys ever see this show? We'll start there. And if you did you like it?
I saw the video of it. I didn't stick around to watch the live show ever. Like, I never sat in the stadium seating and watched it. But I've watched videos of every incarnation of this show.
Yeah.
Does that count?
Yeah, of course.
Does that count for anything?
Sure.
Okay. Well, then yes, I have seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. You know, a lot of big water fountains and mist screens and floating lanterns and effects. But you kind of feel like the scope of it, because they're using predominantly these projecting on water, the water can only go so high. So the height you get is pretty limited, which kind of just reduces the grandeur of the whole thing. Like when you go to a castle show and they're projecting the castle's enormous, right? Or at least feels enormous. They've got these two giant spray guns, and then the cascading mist is what they're projecting on. So I guess you can only shoot these things so high, you know? I don't know how many feet it is, but it just seemed small. It seemed very like minimal. And maybe for what they were putting into it financially, it wasn't worth it. But for something for a show to just hang around for 3 years that had the money sunk into it, and it was a pretty big production.
It was a low-rated show, right? Nobody liked that show. Like, out of all of the nighttime shows, it was always ranked dead last.
It was the worst, by a lot.
Nobody cared for it, So I'm not like, you know, we're saying goodbye to these attractions, but I'm not going to say goodbye to this one. I'm going to say see you later, because I'm betting we're going to see a different version of this. We're going to see those floats again. We're going to see something retooled. They're going to take this back to the shop. They're going to figure something out. So an ex-girlfriend a long time ago, I really got along with her dad. And when we broke up, her dad, the last time I saw him, he looked at me and he patted me on the shoulder and he's like, "Well, Mark, see you when." And he walked away. I was like, "Man, that guy's the coolest guy. See you when." Is what "see you when." And so I think that's what it is. We'll see you when.
See
like,
you
know what I mean? We'll probably see you again. Don't know when, but when we do, we do.
Yeah. I mean, listen, they converted this area and put 5,000 seats around it. They're not just going to leave this to rot. There's going to be something. All right.
Some sort of why not a water stunt show? That's what I want.
That'd be kind of cool, but it's got to have animals in it, man. Can you get animals to do stunts?
Could you imagine?
It's like animal actors over at Universal Studios, but they're all like...
Except they're all jumping into the water.
It's all
fish, what Marcus always wanted. Fake animals at the Animal Kingdom.
There we go. Yes. Here it comes.
Yes. Yes, please. Finally.
Do you have any
robot
last...
animals jumping into the water.
So, Mark Miriam, do you have any last words for River of Light? Any final... Any, just want to say goodbye? No? Miriam, do you have anything to say to Rivers of Light? Is it... As it walks into the sunset.
Goodbye.
Some deep. All right. Well, thankfully, I wrote something. It goes like this: Rivers of Light. It is time to extinguish your light.
Jeez.
Yeah. Shut off your hoses and fire your performers. Oh wait, you already did that. Rivers of Light. You were just okay. It's tough to projection map on a small water surface, but now that you're 6 feet under, maybe we'll see it better. You just got here and now you're gone. Indiana Jones land. You can't go wrong. Goodbye. Indiana Jones land has got to it's got to happen.
Trend here.
There's a bit of a thing of rhymes. Give me some Indiana Jones in Animal Kingdom. It has nothing to do with animals, but who cares? Let's do this. All right. Last one. Last one. Stitch's Great Escape. Doesn't it feel like this was a wart at Tomorrowland? Like you had this beautiful ride, an extraterrestrial encounter. Such a great ride. Too scary.
You call that a ride? I guess you're in a chair that moved.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's an attraction. I don't know, whatever. Yeah. And it's an experience.
I get you.
It was, sure. But dude, it was awesome. Do you remember that ride going on?
Yeah, of course.
Getting alien blood on you and stuff. Oh my goodness. Breathing in the back of your neck. And then you get this thing. If you don't know it, it's a Theater in the Round show. Come on, I mean, you know it. You're listening to this podcast. You know it. It feels like it's a prequel to the 2002 film, which in that movie, he escapes from prison. I guess this is another escape from prison.
Yeah.
In Tomorrowland.
I didn't mind this the way. A lot of people are mad about it because of how good and scary Terrestrial was. Listen, I get it. There is a hunger in the parks for something genuinely scary.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people want something scary. And I think that Universal's Halloween Horror Nights is a testament to that. The fact that they made Walking Dead a regular thing in California is a testament to that. And they made something scary, and that's the problem. You can't make something actually scary because people will complain.
Yeah.
People complained, and they made it less scary by putting Stitch in it, and they did their best. And people are so down on that Stitch thing. And I know you guys don't like Lilo and Stitch. I want to say I didn't see Lilo and Stitch in the theaters. I saw it years and years after on, you know, VHS or whatever. And I liked the movie. I had no expectations going into it, and I liked it. So I did not mind the Stitch version of this. I know that's a hot take. People are like so angry at that attraction. And like people are dancing in the streets now that it's dead. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I guess I'll be happy when you tell me what they're replacing it with. But for now, I think it's kind of a bummer that it's gone, because now it's just one less thing to do in that part of the park. Maybe it was also me that I remember some of the Terrestrial stuff. There was a little bit of nostalgia there. I didn't hate it the way everybody hated it. Everybody hated that thing. And I was like, it's not that bad. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it, frankly, for what it was worth.
I don't think I hated it. I thought it was okay. You know, it's always a bummer when the thing before was better. It's like when you go on Imagination.
Sure.
You remember the original Imagination ride. You're like,
right.
Okay, this is fine. Like, I don't hate this ride, but man, I remember how great it used to be. I agree with you. Tomorrowland needs stuff. We're probably going to need to do an armchair Imagineering on Tomorrowland at some point, because I just needs a shot in the arm, and that shot is Tron. But, you know, you've got this. It is. What? The Tron ride's going to be huge.
Yeah, I know. But it's just, I just love that you will always bring up Tron at every possible opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah, man.
Listen.
Yes.
What's a Disney movie that should be made into a musical? Tron. Okay. Yeah.
Listen. Can you imagine
live
the light
converted
spectacle?
To cartoon? Tron.
The cartoon converted to live action somehow. Also Tron. So
there is a Tron cartoon. It's pretty good. Have you seen it?
See, there you go. There it is.
You guys didn't know that, did you? There's a Tron cartoon.
No, I had no idea.
It's actually
no.
very good. It's on Disney Plus. Check it out.
Probably not.
Miriam, what's your opinion on this ride? Are you a fence sitter like me? Do you kind of like it like Mark? Or are you one of the kind of the more popular vote, which is just you hate this thing?
I'm kind of with Mark. I liked the Terrestrial, and I didn't hate this one. But we also, I don't know, I'd only done it once, I think. And I think that's more because we don't really spend a ton of time in Tomorrowland, and less to do with the Stitch overlay.
All right. Well, Mark, do you have any last words for the Stitch ride?
No, that was it. I liked you. I liked you, Stitch ride, you know. And I'm sad you're gone, and I hope they replace you with something as cool as you were, and I hope that people will recognize its coolness, because I think the Stitch ride was cool. I think that it didn't get the credit it deserved because it had to follow something genuinely terrifying.
Right.
And I think a bunch of grown-ups are like, I want something scary. But like, little kids can't get in that. Little kids are going to freak out. So Stitch was probably scary enough for a bunch of little kids, you know?
Miriam, any last words?
Goodbye, Stitch.
All right.
Yeah, I love a running gag. Well, I love it.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing I wrote something. Here it goes. Stitch, we lay you to rest after watching you twist and gag in Tomorrowland for what feels like an eternity. You burned me with your movie, and you burned me once again with this ride. May you join Elvis in heaven and jam for eternity. Thank you very much, Indiana Jones.
I have a lot of problems with what you're saying, because I'm not entirely convinced that Elvis is dead. So,
Very good. Well, all right.
I'm one of those. You know what I mean?
One of those guys. Okay.
I'm one of those.
Where do you think
when
he is?
We go to Dollywood, we should also go to Graceland and see if you can hunt for some clues.
Yes, please. Can we also go to the Reverend Al Green's church?
Yes.
Sure. Want to see Al Green just deliver. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We'll just map the whole thing out.
I like this.
I have absolutely mapped it out.
All right. We're all in ski. All right, friends. Well, hey, are you going to miss any of these rides? Do you care about these rides? Let us know. We want to hear about it. Hit us up on our Instagram. DM us. What's your opinion on these rides going? Do you care? Or are we with Mark? Do you like some of these guys? You never know. Hit us up. Let us know. Maybe you have a last word for these attractions. But bye-bye, guys. Happy you're going. Looking forward to what's new. All right, friends, we got more show coming up, so we're going to take a break. We'll come right back with some more We Like Theme Parks
podcast.
We like theme parks. The We Like Theme Parks podcast.
Time for a new feature, Showcase Showdown. So this is going to be a very exciting few moments.
Expanding over the next few months, the countries that make up the World Showcases will be represented by someone from the We Like Theme Parks family, who will enter in a debate battle against another contestant to determine which World Showcase in the pavilion is king of the Showcase Lagoon. Now, the debate will be adjudicated by two judges who will vote for their winner, while the final vote will go to you. You can vote for your battle winner in our Instagram stories and help your favorite World Showcase pavilion ascend to victory. Now, we have two big matchups today. The number 2 seed France will be squaring off against number 7 seed China, and the 3rd seed Japan throws down with the 6th seed Mexico, if that's appropriate. And returning to the World Showcase Showdown is one of our very favorite guests, comedian, star of the small screen, and Diz nerd, and who you may remember taking down Bondo in the last round, weaving a web of pageantry and culinary panache as she helped the UK to victory. Please welcome wild card Dale Boyer. Hey, Dale.
Hello. I'm so excited.
We're pumped that you're here. In a new country, no less.
Mexico. Oh, my gosh. One of my favorites. I'm super passionate.
You love Mexico?
Yes, the pavilion, yes. And Mexico I've been. It's wonderful.
So let me tell you how this is all going to shake down, friends. Each contestant will have an opportunity to show their showcase in 3 separate topics: architecture and grounds, food, and fun stuff. Once the debate is done, the two judges will cast their vote. Their votes, along with the audience vote, will determine our winner. And our first battle today will be Japan, who is going to be represented by...
me.
Yeah, it's Miriam. Gulp me. And you're going right up against Mexico, who is represented by...
Dave.
Yeah, it's Dale.
Different
me sound. That's fantastic. So Dale against Miriam. It's Japan against Mexico. And let's just get this thing rocking and rolling.
Let's get ready to rumble!
All right, let's do this. Okay, who should we start off with? How about our guest, Dale?
Dale's, oh my gosh.
Yeah, let's start off with you, Dale. We're going to start with architecture and grounds. Tell us your take on Mexico.
Obviously, and I've talked about this before, the only way to walk around World Showcase is by going left when you get through Future World.
Yes.
Which obviously puts you in Mexico. You're going to find a pre-Columbian pyramid surrounded with lush landscaping fashioned after Yucatan jungle. This is your first introduction to the Mexican Pavilion, okay? But mostly what you're going to find is a lot of people sitting on steps eating stuff. And I mean, I can't think of a better architectural feature than a bunch of steps for people to sit and eat stuff on.
Agree.
You know, it's huge. But I also think, and this is an important architectural feature of Mexico, and I think it's fair to include this, when you finish in World Showcase and you're going to go to Mexico, you have two decisions to make. You're either going to walk straight up and go into the Showcase Plaza, or you're going to cut the corner through the Odyssey Events Pavilion. Obviously, you want to cut through the Odyssey Events Pavilion, because by this point, you're going to need to take a special break at the first aid station, which is right there, where I have gotten a number of Tylenols after riding Space and Test Track to get to Mexico. So I always include the first aid station at the Odyssey Events Pavilion into Mexico. It's wonderful architecture over there, too. It just looks like a pile of 80s next to a pyramid. It's gorgeous. I think that these architectural features alone make Mexico a really special pavilion.
Love it.
And it's a great place. You can, after you have your Tylenol, you can have a nice, cold, dark sit inside
the temple.
Temple pyramid.
Yeah.
Pyramid. And let your Tylenol work while you have a margarita. Frozen margarita. Tylenol. They'll give you children's Tylenol too. They don't even care. They'll give you anything you ask for.
What drugs
it's do you the want? Best first aid station in all of Disney World. That's the truth.
Miriam, tell me a little bit about the architecture and grounds happening over in Japan.
Okay, so I think Japan is the prettiest of all the pavilions because the entrance looks like, you know, to the Japanese courtyard is a pagoda, and it has this beautiful torii gate outside on the waterfront. And I love to take pictures right there. It's so pretty to look out on the lagoon with that gate right there.
That's like a popular photo spot. I feel like that's like it's a total selfie spot.
It's so pretty. And apparently that gate is supposed to represent a transition from the mundane to the sacred. And then once you're inside of the pavilion, there's all these Japanese pools with koi fish, and there's gardens. It's a real peaceful place to sit. You don't get the Tylenol on the way in, but you could have a drink on the way in and just kind of relax there by the pools. And at the end of the courtyard, there's a gate to a Japanese castle, which includes a moat, and it leads to a display of Japanese culture. All around, I think it's the prettiest pavilion.
Well, that's great. Here's a big punch for you. That's what you get, Dale. It's a beautiful and pretty pavilion. And man, if every time I'm scrolling through the We Like Theme Parks account, and Epcot is rock and roll, like it's been a little not so much these days with the pandemic. But before, I would say every 20 pictures, you get that Japanese gate. And not even with people in it, just the gate. It's the same picture over and over again. It feels like B-roll footage. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Mark, do you have any questions, thoughts, concerns about architecture and grounds in either of these pavilions?
Nope.
Very good. Thanks, Mark. Great job. Keep it coming.
I'd like to add something. I'd like to add something for Mexico.
Oh, please.
Please.
I really appreciate the architectural feature of making all the guests walk upstairs, walk into the building, and then have to walk downstairs. And yes. Although I am sure there is an accessible entrance into that pyramid, mm-hmm. I have yet to find it. So I love that they really just make everybody hoof it up the steps to just go back down the steps.
I really think that if you hang a right, like a Ralphie around the side where the photo op is for Three Caballero Donald, I think it's around there.
Just now it's ruined.
Now I've ruined it. Ruined. Pro tip. Ruined now your joke. Squash your joke with real information.
Hold on, though. There's an accessibility ramp. So are you telling me that perhaps there is a ramp up into the space and then a ramp down into the space?
It's possible. I've never used it. I just think it's over there because that's like the only way you can get at it is that way.
So it's an assumption. Incredible.
Okay, well, let's move on to the next category. Is that how your mom says it, Mark?
Category.
Thank you.
I was category.
Close. Oh, very good. And that is food. And everyone loves to talk food, especially around F&W. Let's hear about some of the culinary wares in the Japan Pavilion.
Okay, so in Japan, there's a few wonderful restaurants. One of them is Teppan Ito, which is a teppanyaki style restaurant. So they cook all the food on the table in front of you.
Yum.
Which is very fun.
I'm a fan. If they do the onion volcano, I'm happy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like that's the standard.
It is.
Got to do the onion volcano. If you don't do the onion volcano, is this even teppanyaki?
Agreed.
Well, yeah. What are the three moves? I feel like it's the onion volcano. It's the oil across the whole thing where it just makes the big fire, the whoosh, the streak of fire. And
the egg, slice of the egg. Yeah.
Slicing the egg. And then the old shrimp flip.
Yeah, I was going to say the shrimp catch.
The shrimp catch, yeah. I mean, those are, you know, the four cornerstones of the teppanyaki moves, you know?
You'll get all four at the Japanese pavilion.
Nice. Amazing.
And then there's also Tokyo dining, which is mostly sushi and noodle dishes, which I appreciate. I love some noodles and sushi.
I love a noodle time.
Lots of different sakes and Japanese beers to try, which I also quite enjoy. So all around, delightful dining in Japan.
Have you guys had the Kit Kat, the sake Kit Kats?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, they're so good.
I had red bean Kit Kat.
Love a red bean Kit Kat.
That's a real thing?
Strawberry red bean Kit Kat? Mm. Have you had the ube? Listen, we can talk about flavored Kit Kats
cry. Ube is a strong thing in this household.
I bet.
Had an ube cake at my wedding, so.
Oh. Mazel tov.
Mazel tov. Miriam, is that it for you in Japan and food?
Yeah, just the good thing about dining in Japan is you can eat a little bit and it doesn't weigh you down for the rest of your journey. It's like real light. You can keep going if you wanted to after you're done.
Absolutely. And that's important, right? If you go to Germany, you're going to weigh yourself down. That German pavilion, I mean, just a stinker.
Oh, boy. Here goes Chris on the Germans again.
I was trying to find an access point. I'm glad I found it. I also just mention really quickly, Takumite is the new restaurant. Very fancy. It's fine Japanese dining. This thing's brand spanking new. And apparently you sit in those little rooms, like those little rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. On the floor. That's really cool, too. I definitely want to try that restaurant. It is mucho expensivo, but there is a prefix if you want to try. And a couple other cool dishes, but just presentation-wise, some beautiful dishes at Takumite. Also a cool name. It sounds like the tournament from Bloodsport. Takumite. Isn't that the... Am I right, Mark? I knew you would get
this. Yeah, that's where I want to eat at the tournament for Bloodsport.
Yeah.
That's where my raw fish is coming from. Yes, please. Yum, yum.
Yum, yum.
Yum, yum.
So let's stroll on over to Mexico and talk about some food. Dale, what are the eats like in Mexico?
Oh. Listen, the eats are so good and at the same time so bad. But listen, I want you to stay with me here because just because I'm saying it's bad doesn't mean it's not still really good, okay?
Okay.
You can head into La Hacienda de San Angel and listen, it's inside that pyramid, okay? Mm-hmm. It's dusk all the time. It's little. It's hard to get a reservation. There's a volcano that's always smoking, but not in like a scary way, in like a really cool, ooh, look, it's smoking kind of way. Got that magic hour quality, you know? Everybody looks good, little light on the table. You don't see your sweatiness from going up the steps. Sit down. You look good, right? So you sit down, you got a reservation, your money. You look across with whatever family, they look beautiful, you're happy to be there. The food is garbage, you don't care, it doesn't matter. Not what it's about, doesn't need to be good. You literally can say, hey, I ate here and I got to watch a ride go by. Literally, the ride goes by right next to it. And all the people in the ride, you know what they're saying? My 10-year-old self is saying, Mom, why can't we go to that restaurant? Why can't we eat there? Like, those people look so special to me. And then I'm just like, I'm just a second class citizen on the boat. All the cool people are over there. You have an opportunity to do that. It's not completely disorienting that it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but you go inside and it's cold and it's dark. You're having lunch. It's fine. So that's only one option. That's only one eating option.
Wait, can we pause on this option for a second? Because I have a question. It's a burning question and it's an important one, Dale. If you go on Pirates of the Caribbean at Disneyland, the Blue Bayou restaurant is inside. So it's very reminiscent of the pavilion in Mexico.
Absolutely.
One of the traditions is if you're on the ride and you're cruising past in your boat, you yell out to the restaurant, throw me a bun. And sometimes someone will throw you a bun into your boat. What is the Grand Fiesta Tour equivalent if you are cruising past the Hacienda de San Angel Inn. Are they going to throw you a nachos or something? Like, is there a tradition like that? Or is
it my understanding and from personal experience is you try to make eye contact with someone in the restaurant and you wave at them and they kind of just look at you. So, okay. So there's that. All right. You could try that. Chances are it'll work out for you. There's also La Cava de Tequila. Mm. So listen, my family, we're not big tequila drinking people, but when I told my, had my parents over tonight, when I told them that I was debating on behalf of Mexico, my father, who I don't even think has had tequila in his life, went on a very long discussion about how this is one of the best bars at Disney, one of the best places to go and try tequila, and that it's actually like a really super special place. So I'm going to take it from the Roger that this place is the bomb.
And let's pause here for a second again, because we've talked about Roger Boyer on this podcast many times. Still hasn't listened to this podcast, but Roger, we still love you. And I just wanted to give you a shout out.
He's the kind of guy who will still talk something up, even though he's never going to have it. Never, ever, never going to do it. And finally, La Cantina de San Angel, which is outside, right? So obviously it's like a cantina style. You can go in there, you can have margaritas, you can have churros, you can have a taco, you can have nachos, guacamole, just when you get in there, sit on them steps, make it hard for people to walk up them steps, or at the end of the day you can sit down, have a margarita, watch the fireworks. So you got three good options. You got the cheap option, you got the tequila option, and you got the oh you look so sexy but the food don't taste good option.
One, two, boom. Three punches in the face of Japan for three delicious, well maybe two delicious options in Mexico. Japanese food just looks beautiful, but Mexican food just it's meat and cheese and sauce. These are a few of my favorite things. Mark, do you have anything to add about the food here at either of these showcases?
I went to a restaurant in New York once that was Japanese-Mexican fusion. What? And let me tell you, it was incredible.
Really?
The salsa, the warm salsa that came with the house-made tortilla chips had miso in it. And I couldn't figure it out. I said to the waiter, I said, I can't get enough of this salsa. Like, because they kept giving us more salsa and chips. I was like, I can't. I'm going to drink this salsa. What? I can't place the flavor. What is happening in here? And he goes, it's miso. Miso is in there. I was like, miso. A miso warm tomato salsa. Good grief.
Yum.
Anyway, so I'm very hungry is what I'm telling you. I'm hearing about the Japanese food. I'm hearing about the Mexican food. And I'm thinking about New York. So
well,
what's happened?
Before Mark eats his microphone, let's move on to the last topic here in our debate. And that is the fun stuff. So let's head right back over to you, Dale, for some fun stuff happening in Mexico.
Okay, so listen, Mexico obviously has an unfair advantage. It's one of the few pavilions that actually has a ride. Okay, so it has the Gran Fiesta Tour starring the Three Caballeros. This ride is like a really special little gem. Okay, mm-hmm. I could say a lot of little garbage things about it. I'm not going to, because the truth is, I love it. I love the ride. I love that it's there. It's just tucked into the back. And the thing that I love most about this ride is the fact that, in my opinion, this is Disney. It's the true spirit of Disney. There's never a line. It's a really slow ride. It has nice air conditioning. It's got a good repetitive song. Na 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 na. Come on. Like, this is where it's at. This ride is, like, great.
Was that the now, Caballero song you just sang? Na,
na, na, yeah, man. Na, na. Well, it's the ride from, yeah, it's the song from the ride. So if I have to be honest, yeah, I'm disappointed that it was changed up with the Three Caballeros. I'm opinionated about these things. I loved it when it was a literal tourist ride based on Fly With Us. It was like an airline sponsored it, and it was like Fly With Us, come to Mexico. And it would literally show you like pictures of hotels and stuff like that. Oh,
I forgot about that.
I was into it, and it was called El Real del Tiempo at that point. It was called like the River of Time. It started with ancient Mexico on these like faded screens. Granted, they went and they threw the Caballeros on it, but I do think it still holds on to the true spirit of it. And it is one of those things where you can go on it with everybody. Nobody's going to get sick. Everybody's going to have a nice time. And it's a special little thing you can do in Epcot that's not going to blow your face off anymore, because I think the rides are getting a bit out of hand. I like a slow moving ride.
Can I tell you how many times I went on the Gran Fiesta Tour on my last trip? Cuatro amigos, cuatro timos. We went on that thing.
Cuatro timos.
Yeah, because my kids and me, I love the Three Caballeros. My kids love the Three Caballeros. And the ride is just that. It's for everybody. It's beautiful.
It's a wonderful thing.
It's amazing. And there's no hardly a line. We waited for 5 minutes and my brain melted. I was like, we have to wait 5 whole minutes to get on this thing? Let me tell you, absolutely an amazing ride.
There's also a really fun fact. The three automated animatronic characters of the three Caballeros, they have like a long history, those three. They didn't just build them to put them into the ride. They started in Disney World. They went to Tokyo Disney for years. They stayed in Tokyo Disney for 25 years, those animatronic three guys. And then they brought them back and installed them into that ride. So I think that that's also kind of special that they took these like weird robots and put them in. It also kind of explains why the robots aren't that great.
And why they're broken most of the time. And you get a
screen. They're usually broken. Right now, Donald's not even there. Like everybody, like people are showing all these videos. They're like, there's only two of them. They're like, sorry, it's getting fixed. Pandemic. Get two Caballeros.
Only two Caballeros. Are you saying that Donald Duck had COVID? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, man.
I thought he had the bird flu.
No. He's going to be fine.
Oh,
no.
Bury him with the win.
Other than that, I mean, you can go out, you can listen to some great music, you can watch a cool puppet of Coco, if that's your thing, if you're into the Coco
Miguel
movie.
See.
Yeah, you got a Coco puppet,
Poco Loco.
And you got some really cool like dancers and stuff. So Mexico's a great place. They got a ride. Hard to compete with a ride.
It is true. Like Germany does not have a ride.
Get them. Get them, Chris. Get those Germans. had it too
Miriam,
good for too long.
Miriam, I want to hear all about all the cool stuff that's happening over in Japan. What's the fun stuff?
Well, okay, so why have a ride when you can have a department store, right? Now, granted, it is the best department store in all of Epcot. The one in the Japan Pavilion, it's called the Mitsukashi Department Store, and it's separated into four categories: festivity, silence, harmony, and interest.
Ooh.
And it sells items like clothing, jewelry, books, anime, toys, specifically stocked with Japanese pop culture, which I think is the cutest of all time. Every culture should look like Japanese pop culture.
Yep.
And there's also at the back of the pavilion an exhibition gallery. And the current exhibition is called Kawaii, Japan's Cute Culture.
Mm.
And what a better display. I can't even.
It's a
it
Miriam
is
display.
So fun.
Of course, of course, Miriam's into kawaii. Of course you are.
It's the best. It means cute or lovable. And so you just want to think of Hello Kitty or Duffy. And the exhibit takes a look at how this became an aspect of Japanese culture and a new form of self-expression there. And it's wonderful. You can't recommend it enough. If you're in the Japanese pavilion, you have to go and look at this exhibit while it's still there. And that's the fun stuff in Japan.
It sounds super fun. Actually, when this pavilion was being planned for, there was supposed to be a bullet train
ride.
Yeah, through Mount Fuji. Yeah, bullet train.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bummer.
It was sort of like a Matterhorn style ride that they were going to do, but it would be Mount Fuji themed.
How cool would that
I'm
have
sure.
been?
And I think they were thinking maybe a Godzilla monster instead of...
That would have been great.
That would have
been awesome.
Amazing.
So, and they also planned for a film that also got scrapped. So,
well, I found when a lot of these nations and sponsors dropped out of the project, so some of the money got cut and you got what you got. But it's still beautiful.
There's one of my favorite street performers in Japan. I shouldn't be talking about it because I don't want Japan to lose.
But please do.
But one of my favorite ones is there, and that's the sugar sculpture woman.
Ooh, yes.
She makes sculptures out of sugar. It's mesmerizing. And every time I'm at Epcot, it sounds crazy, but I'm like, get me to this woman. I want to sit and I want to watch her. And she'll make, I don't even know how to describe it. She takes like sugar and it mashes it into kind of like a paste. Then she takes like little scissors and she cuts them into the most adorable, cute, small little animals or little, she'll make like Pluto or something. She'll put it on a stick and she'll give it out to people. They're not to eat. It's because it's been very touched and stuff. It's just these little pieces of art and she's very special.
I just thought would just Pluto's head off, right off. It's just sugar.
Wow.
This is a lollipop.
I mean, violent.
She does, every time she hands out one of those, she does say to the patrons, though, she says, my hands are very dirty. She gives it out to guests. So, I mean, I get you could eat it right after she says, my hands are very dirty. And then the look she gives, it's like,
Yeah, you know she means it.
Yeah, it might be dirtier than even we expect.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the info is in. The debate is over. We've heard everything we need to hear from Japan and Mexico, both amazing pavilions and two of our top pavilions. What an exciting throwdown. And now it's time to vote. Mark, why don't we start with you? How are you feeling about today's vote?
You know, I love Mexico, the country. However, as a pavilion, man, you know how I feel about this. I can't stand it. I hate it so much. Mostly, Chris, because you like it.
Fair. So, I mean, you know, I like to leave it to the debate to decide who I'm going to vote for.
No, I can't hear anything past Chris loves this and I just need to bury it somehow. So, I mean, for that alone, but then you add the kawaii culture and the department store. And I mean, the sugar woman sounds lovely. I haven't witnessed the sugar woman, but I have seen the drummers who I like a lot.
Oh, their contract is up and they all got sent home.
Oh, well, you know what? They will live on in my heart. Yeah. So I'm going to go vote for Japan.
Okay, a vote for Japan. Sending it over my way. It's a tough call. They're both great. Japan, our number three ranked? Yeah, our number three seed in this whole thing. It's still lacking in attraction. That's my big thing. I think that fine dining, the new Takumite, really pops it up even further because that restaurant, it's not just the food. It's an experience. Like, it's legit. Definitely want to do it, but can't afford it. But, you know, there's that. Yeah, Mark nailed it. I love Mexico. Like, I don't like Mexico. I love Mexico. And I'm talking about the pavilion and the country, but the pavilion today. That ride, I love the Three Caballeros. I love Mexican food. I like walking up those steps and then walking down. I could need to burn a few calories because I'm about to shove some into my face hole when I get into that pavilion with all the tequila and the tacos and the margaritas. I'm voting for Mexico, which means that it's all up to you, fans. It's up to the vote. And let's see who won the vote. And with this vote will be the deciding vote to see who wins this matchup. Miriam.
Okay, so our fans voted 80% Mexico to 20% Japan. So Mexico is the winner.
Mexico is the winner. The big winner. Aplauso to Dale. Congratulations. To the Mexican Pavilion. Mark, it doesn't matter what you do, my friend. Mexico's going all the way.
Let me tell you, you know, if Mexico, if there was just like a luchador exhibit, if they just had a luchador match every hour or something, you know what I mean? Maybe three times a day they did a little wrestling show. Mm-hmm. I would be into that.
That'd be pretty cool, but, actually. Just something about luchador.
Actually, you know, while we're talking about it, Japan has a great wrestling culture too. Maybe Japan should also do it. You know what? Wrestling from every single country.
Put it in the American Adventure too.
Yeah, there it is.
What if it was a tag team thing? Like you had the luchadors up against the Japanese wrestlers. Wouldn't that be cool?
Versus triple threat match versus the American. You could do it right in the middle of the World Showcase Lagoon.
I think we're onto something here. I like
and
it.
And then once they fall in, they'll have to wrestle gators.
Where are sumo wrestlers from?
They swim out from their pavilions.
Japan.
Oh, yeah, the sumo wrestlers. Yeah. This idea is really evolving. Imagineering, give us a shout. We can, you know, work on this together. We can kind of, you know, mold this idea, develop it together. 2021, September, comps, hook us up. So for Dale's great ideas. Well, a big win for Mexico. They're going to move on to the semifinals of the World Showcase Showdown. And now we go to our next battle, which is going to be Bondo with France, Mark with China, going head to head. And let me introduce you to our host. It's Miriam.
Yes, lovely to be here as host. I'm not nervous at all. Okay, so I think up first we'll have France, our number two seed. Talk about the architecture, the grounds. What makes this pavilion beautiful, Chris?
Well, let me start by saying bonjour tout le monde. Je pense que la France est le plus meilleur pavillon dans toute la showcase, exceptement Mexico, peut-être. C'est très joli. Beaucoup de choses à manger. L'architecture est magnifique. Tu besoin d'aller au pavillon France maintenant. say many feet. I said many feet twice, but that it's that magnificent that I said it twice.
Well, we would prefer that you didn't say that and just tell us about the architecture.
Well, let me tell you about it. You're thrusted into a Parisian village, which is, you know, great. It's beautiful. It starts with, you've got a beautiful centerpiece pool with some fountains in it, which is very French. These kind of long, flat pools, not kind of like the great fountains like in Italy, but the long ones, a little more picturesque, kind of give you the scape of the whole square. And now the square is just peppered with little shops and restaurants, cafe styles, all Parisian inspired. And obviously in the back is an Eiffel Tower using that called the magic of force perspective. Yeah, that's the one. That shot, actually, if you get in front of that low pool into that French square, is one of the most popular shots other than the Japan shot in all of Epcot for photos, because you get this beautiful picturesque French square with the fountains behind you and way in the back, the Eiffel Tower. It is gorgeous. That's what you get. It is beautiful. It's not a huge pavilion, but it packs a punch with its beauty and with its authenticity.
That's beautiful. I feel like Marie Antoinette after that description. Okay. Mark, please tell us about the grounds and what makes China so beautiful.
Well, I mean, I'd like to start off just by saying, Juju Shintai Mela. You're not the only one that could speak another language, Christopher Bond.
I didn't speak it well.
Neither did I. I very quickly looked up, this looks so beautiful.
Oh, you translated. Oh, see, I riffed it and you Google translated it. What a bum.
So I have skills, is what you're saying. I have computer skills that are applicable to this.
You have fast fingers, yeah.
The China Pavilion is so beautiful. There's a large gate at the beginning. There's a beautiful courtyard. There's a replica of the Temple of Heaven. The Temple of Heaven, everybody. My goodness. Which is where, inside of that is where the Circle Visions 360 movie is. But we're not talking about that yet. Here's the thing. Everybody's talking about these picturesque views. They're talking about these Instagrammable scenes. Mm-hmm. How many other pavilions can truthfully claim that they serve as the backdrop for a music video performed by Christina Aguilera? Only one. Only one, and it's China. I rest my case.
What's the song?
What else could you... Reflection. Oh. The song is called Reflection, performed by Christina Aguilera. Stunning, stunning music video set in a beautiful, beautiful pavilion.
Reflection. Isn't that the Mulan song?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, she did the pop version.
Oh, correct. Right. I mean, you don't see Peebo Bryson hanging out in front of France in the music video for Beauty and the Beast. There's no quick cuts of Angela Lansbury doing the Running Man or Roger Rabbit
in front of that
fountain you described.
You're right, because we don't want to ruin the authenticity of the pavilion like you have with China, with Christina Aguilera dancing around in front of it.
Yeah. You're out of your mind. No, okay. You're out of your mind.
Yeah, I'm just keep
celebration
it
of the culture. Celebration.
Mm-hmm. See, this is called Shade. You didn't get a lot of that in that first matchup. You're going to get it here, everybody. Welcome to Shade.
Because Dale and I are civilized. Mm-hmm. Dale, do you have any questions for either contestant?
Yeah, I do. I always feel like the China Pavilion feels bigger than the France Pavilion. And I don't know if this is true or not, but it just feels so much grander.
I will say
somehow.
This. It is, but it won't be for much longer.
Okay, right. We're dealing with the present, though.
Yeah.
Are we?
Like, it feels like it has more waterfront. I don't know why. It just feels so big to me.
It does. It does have more waterfront.
It's also got so many ponds and all these little bridges. It's a quality pavilion.
It is. It's great. It's number 7 ranked. It's made it all the way here.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's decent, yeah. It toppled that mega pavilion Canada on the way in here. So it's doing some good stuff.
Oh my gosh. Okay, on that note, let's move on to our dining options. Tell us about all the delicious food. What are you so excited to try once you get to these pavilions? We'll start with Mark.
There are two restaurants there. There's the Nine Dragons, which is a full-service gourmet Chinese restaurant. And then there's the Lotus Blossom Cafe, which is, you know, how cute is a lotus blossom? Super cute, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. There is an authenticity to the Chinese food, but you can also have the comforting classics of Chinese American food. So, you know, your chicken balls, your spring rolls and wontons, it's all there. It's all there for you. And if you want something super authentic, it's there as well. Your chow mains, your pea shoots in garlic. Yes, all of the above.
On a personal level, I like American Chinese food as much as the next guy, and it's also available in their fine dining option, the Nine Dragons. You can get some General Tao chicken, baby, right there in the Nine Dragons. So I don't know how fine that fine dining is, but you have that option if you have some of those sensibilities like I do.
They actually prefer to call it gourmet. They don't call it a fine dining restaurant. They call it a gourmet restaurant. You know, there's fine dining and then there's gourmet.
Well, you say it's next level is what you're saying? There's fine and then gourmet? I would switch it. I would say it's gourmet and then fine dining.
It's there's fine. It's fine dining. And then there's gourmet, you know.
And you get a lot of dragons. You get 9 of them. It's a lot of dragons.
That is a lot of dragons. How many dragons are in France? Please tell us about the dining.
We got a beast. France. We got a beast. He's all right. Let's talk about France and food because there's a lot of it. Have you guys ever been to France? Oh, my goodness. The creams, the breads, the wine. Oh, it's crazy. And you get to have that same experience right here in the pavilion. If fine dining is your jam, or gourmet dining, as Mr. Mark calls it, you want to check out Monsieur Paul. And Monsieur Paul is that very classy French spot. This is an elegant fine dining experience. You're going to get those kind of entrees, the oven roasted salmons or the pork chop fricassee. How about venison baked in tenderloin in a puffy pastry? Turning meat into pastries, that's a French thing, okay? You got to check it out. Everything is naturally drenched in some kind of French cream. It's very expensive, but it's very authentic and it's delicious. If you don't want to go that fine with your dining, Le Chef de France, fantastic restaurant. For a while, for just some fun stuff, I'm not sure if they still have it. Maybe someone can jump in. They had a little animatronic Remy the Rat who would cruise around on top of like a push cart, a tabletop push cart. And it was under a dome and they would reveal him and he would kind of muck around with some of the food and stuff. And it was really fun for kids. I'm not sure if that's still there, but that was happened right here at Le Chef de France. It's classy, but casual, a delightful mix of different kinds of cuisines. There's a prefix option, which is great. French onion soup, beef bourguignon, gratin de macaroni, steak with frites, all the kind of like little bit more casual options, which are great. And then let's not forget Les Halles, boulangerie and pâtisserie. I would argue that this is the best place in all of Epcot for lunch, especially if you're on a budget, because they have these sandwiches, these French paninos. And let me tell you, we've all been to France, or maybe some of us have because we're fancy, and you've had bread and cheese. Bread and cheese, that's a French thing. You're going to get that right here at Les Halles. Maybe you just want a brie and a baguette for lunch, or you want like a jambon sandwich, a croque monsieur. This is what the French do. They do sandwiches, baby. They're amazing. And then in the same spot is your pâtisserie, which is like a bakery. And now we're talking creme brulees, chocolate mousse, eclairs, chocolate croissants, frangipans, tart citron, flan. I don't even know what flan is, but you can get the flan there and it's fantastic. So many options. This is a great spot. You want to spend around 10 bucks on your lunch and have a sandwich and a dessert? This is your spot, Les Halles. Maybe you want a little ice cream? That's an option too. L'Artisan du Glace, all the beautiful French ice cream, sorbets. And we've talked about in our top 50 list, the macaroon sandwich, the ice cream sandwich, or the, it's called a croque glacier, which is the, like, it's like an ice cream sandwich. This is where you get it in France. And if you're just looking for a drink, maybe you're drinking around the world, which is cool. Au Vin de France is like a nice wine bar where you can either buy a glass or a bottle, or maybe you want some accessories for champagne or wine. It's all available there. And if you just want the coolest slushy you've ever had, you can get it at Les Vins du Chef de France, which is just like a little cart outside. And this is where you're going to get your boozy slushy. I'm talking about a Grand Marnier slushy, vodka citron slushy. Oh, so good. They're delicious and they're boozy. Slushy. Yeah. Oh, Grand Marnier slushy, buddy. Bonjour.
That sounds bad to me.
Merci and bienvenue. All that stuff. Yum. It sounds bad. It sounds amazing. I want an orange
Grand Marnier
peel slushy.
I'm with you on the vodka thing for sure. But in all seriousness, a Grand Marnier slushy?
It's like an orange slushy.
I love it.
You know what? I just don't like Grand slushy. Marnier, so that's probably what it is.
But it's an acquired taste, but I like it.
I haven't had that one, but I have had the frozen rosé slushy, and that is worth
going to
Grand for.
I'm on board.
Yeah, there's also fancy champagnes there as well. All the great boozy stuff right there on the street as you're cruising by. Amazing. And that's lovely. France. That's France and food, baby.
It sounds delicious. Dale, do you have any questions or comments for our contestants?
Yeah, I have two. first, I find every time I'm in the France Pavilion and I'm trying to eat something, it's just nowhere to sit. Mm. Nowhere to park my butt. None. I've gotten a little tiny something fun in that some amazingly beautiful patisserie thing. And I'm like, where am I supposed to eat this? Where am I supposed to go?
And most of them are like a fork and knife situation. So it's not even like an eat on the go.
Right? Yeah, like you want to have a little sit. You want to have a little break. I'm like, where am I supposed to go in France?
I'm gonna respectfully disagree because, Dale, I've sat with you in the courtyard in the France Pavilion at a beautiful little table with Roger Boyer. And we've enjoyed wares from the patisserie together. Plenty of space. We stretched out. We had a nice spot. We looked over the whole
thing. The only reason why we got that is because my mother camped out, pounced like a predator to get that table.
What have you. We sat. We were comfortable. Thank you, Mama. We appreciate that. Now, I'll also add that a lot of these wares in France are just like the good people over at Disney Springs. We're sipping and strolling, okay? We're taking that little nibbly and we're walking and nibbling. And that's, you know, these are snacks. If you want to sit down and have a sit down, Monsieur Paul, Chef de France, plenty of space inside. There is some cafe seating outside, but you know, you can get it. But, and I have gotten it, and I've gotten it with Dale, and it was delightful. I had a really nice sandwich with you, Dale. No, you had a, you had a croissant, didn't you?
No. What?
What
no.
did you have? I'm trying to remember what you ate.
Something fancier than a croissant. I'm not going to go all the way to Disney World and get a croissant.
I thought it was a chocolate croissant or something.
No, I'm going to get something with like a fluff on the top of it.
I remember eating a tart. I'm a tart
guy.
Get
that fluff. Also, I will say there is another eating option in China because you can get bubble tea.
Oh, right. Mm. Of course. Ooh, yes. Which is much better than a Grand Marnier slushy. Oh. As they say in China, Grand Marnier... Tin Ki Lai Hang Bin. Which, for those people who don't know, is Grand Marnier slushy ice sounds gross.
Is this Mandarin or Cantonese?
Mandarin.
Very good. Okay.
And one more thing I think Chris forgot to mention in the French Pavilion is that it's the only place in the World Showcase you can have breakfast. So if you are just dying to get into the World Showcase, you can go in early and have breakfast in France.
Yum, yum.
At the boulangerie.
I usually have schoolhouse bread for breakfast. Same. So
there you go. Same.
Also, that's breakfast.
Yeah. I'll say this. The only place you can get dim sum in all of Epcot, in all of Walt Disney World Resort, is in the China Pavilion.
So,
think about that.
All right.
Lots of places to sit in the China Pavilion. Tons.
You're welcome.
Sit in all kinds in China. Yeah.
Here, I'll look up how to say sitting is comfortable. One sec. Zhōjōhān shūfù. There you go. Zhōjōhān shūfù. Sitting is comfortable.
Yeah, it sounds nice. Yeah, it sounds cozy.
Well, now that we're sitting comfortably, I would like to hear what makes each pavilion so fun. Tell me all about the fun stuff that you can do in each pavilion. Chris, we'll start with you.
All right. Well, there's a lot, so let's get this cooking. First thing, there's a movie. Who doesn't love a movie? It's Impressions de France. It's the OG. It's been around since 82. It's not a circle vision. It's a half a circle vision. You get 5 screens. That's not bad. You know, it's not 2 screens or 3 screens, so it's good. And you're going to take a visual tour of the nation, you know, set to a beautiful score. It was actually written by Buddy Baker. If you know your old school Disney music compositions, Buddy Baker, big time. In fact, he penned the eerie walkabout music of the Haunted Mansion, which everyone seems to enjoy. And what are you going to see in this visual tour? You're going to see incredible historic spots, romantic landmarks, Mont Saint-Michel in Normandy, Chateau de Chambord in Loire Valley. You're going to see Notre Dame. Everyone knows that spot. Eiffel Tower, that kind of stuff as well. Once you get into the theater, actually, when you're in the lobby, they have a statue of the spitting gargoyle, which is the most photographed gargoyle in all of Paris at the Notre Dame. So they have a replica, which is kind of cool if you're into gargoyles, I suppose. And hey, if you're not into movies, we still got you covered because meet and greets are the thing. And all the best fairy tales are typically French ones. So who are you going to meet? You got Princess Aurora from Belle et le Bois Dormir. And also you're going to have Belle from Beauty and the Beast. These are some fantastic French princesses. I'm surprised Cinderella isn't there too. Cendrillon, also French, no big deal. Maybe you're into souvenirs and you want to get a great caricature painting of yourself, you know? Well, I've done that in Quebec City. I didn't realize that was a French thing, but you can do that there as well. Maybe you want a personalized hand-painted parasol, which is very cool. And speaking of souvenirs, maybe you want to stop by the gift shop, grab yourself an Eiffel Tower merch or a Minnie Mouse beret. And maybe you're into colognes and perfumes, cosmetics. They've got the Guerlain shop and Givenchy. I'm probably saying them wrong, but that's okay. But let's not just talk about what's happening now in France. Let's talk about what's happening plus tard, which means later. This year, hopefully, fingers crossed at this point.
This is cheating. You're cheating. This is cheating now.
Which is the Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, which is coming to the France Pavilion. A whole new square is going to be opening up. Dale was right. This is a much smaller pavilion. Well, not anymore. It's doubling in size. And you're going to see Gusto's restaurant, which is going to be the home for this 3D trackless motion-based adventure where you're going to zoom through the kitchens of Gusto's restaurant transformed into the size of a mouse. It's going to be super fun. It's already a hot ride over in Paris in the Disneyland Paris, which is fantastic. It's coming along with a crepe shop. Who doesn't like crepes and 3D trackless rides at the same time? You can have it.
I don't. Coming, I hate them. I hate crepes.
Hopefully this year to the French Pavilion. So that's a lot. That's a lot of stuff going on in one pavilion. It's exciting.
Just for my own, so I can envision this properly.
Yeah.
So there is a restaurant, Gusto's restaurant. And when you go inside, it's a ride.
Oui.
Right. So that's false advertising. So you're promising me a Gusto's restaurant experience. Perhaps I can actually have a Ratatouille, but no. No, I cannot. I'm going to go in and I'm going to get a ride. So I'm going to get, my mouth will be all watery and excited for food, and I'm going to get inside and it's going to be some lousy ride.
Well, that's what the crepes are for. There you go.
You'll go inside and you'll get to see the bottom of an oven. So
when you're in this giant queue for Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, you can grab a crepe and you won't be hungry by the time you get to Gusto's.
Fixed. Sounds like crepe, if you ask me.
Okay, Mark, tell us all the fun things that you can do in China.
Well, we were talking about the attraction in France and how there's a half a circle vision, a half circle vision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In China, there is a whole circle vision, full 360 circle vision called Reflections of China. You know, China's so beautiful. Why wouldn't we want to look at its reflection? And as the Chinese say, Zhouzhou Bei Gao Gula, which means sitting is overrated. So you can stand in the circle vision, stretch your legs, lean against a pole with a thing sticking on the side of it that is angled in such a way that you can't sit on it, but you can certainly lean awkwardly. I mean, listen, I've said it once, I've said it a million times. Zhouzhou Bei Gao Gula. Sitting is overrated. Can you hear the Google Translate telling me how to say it right before I say it?
No.
Great. Because I'm triggering it right before I say it every time.
Lovely. Dale, do you have any questions about the fun stuff in either of these pavilions or comments, anything to add?
I feel like China usually has some kind of like historical education. It has that weird room. It always has something weird in it that you're like, what is this amazing historical thing?
Yeah. Isn't the traditional Chinese weird room?
Isn't the terracotta warriors in one of these rooms?
Some terracotta warriors, are they still there? Is that just like a permanent thing now? Or
Yeah, I think they're there. There's also acrobats roaming. There's acrobats that happen.
I love them so much.
That's the name of their show, Acrobats Happen?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And then there is the traditional weird room.
Yeah.
Or as you say in Mandarin, Ki Jai De Feng Jin. Weird room.
Oh, man. Oh,
I'm doing well.
You're killing it.
I love it.
I feel good about this.
This weird room is really coming together. So I think it's time to vote on these two pavilions. Dale, where do you feel like you want to place your vote?
You know, it's difficult. I have personal memories in each of these pavilions. I have a personal memory of when I was a kid, my dad loves the 360 China movie. Loves it so much. Me, not so much. I don't like standing. As we know, I like sitting in places to sit. So my mother and I would always eat stuff while my dad went there and we would watch the acrobats and whatnot. So to me, China already has a little bit of a nostalgic place in my heart for that. I'm also, just because I think I was like a hipster before it happened. There's something about when stuff is like new and cool. I just don't want anything to do with it. I'm sure Ratatouille is going to be great. And listen, the boulangerie is gorgeous in France. The boulangerie is like beyond. It's gorgeous. I can't. but I have to say, I'm going to pick China.
A vote for China. Nice.
A vote for China.
Okay, so now it's time for my vote, and I feel the same way about China. My dad loves to beeline it there and just eat as many egg rolls as he possibly can right when we get there. It's really nostalgic for me to watch him do that. And then we just stroll right past it. So I do love China. Given that, we do spend a lot of time in France while we're there. You know, we love to watch the weird guy who balances a wine bottle on his head. And as much as I've talked about not liking the Ratatouille ride, I do love Ratatouille the movie. So I am kind of excited for the ride. So I think I'm going to vote for France.
Woohoo!
And with that, we have a tie. So it goes to our Instagram vote. And
come on, audience. Come on.
The audience voted 81% France to 19% China.
Whoa!
Listen, Jing Yi de Kang Wang, which means this is a travesty of justice. I knew I was going to lose, so I queued that up. That's
good. I didn't know you were going to lose. How do you... You got wild card Dale. You knew she wasn't going to go for the top dog. She went for China. It was really on Miriam. Yeah. And the audience. Who knew?
It was on the audience. It was on the audience, for sure.
I like that I've been so consistently inconsistent.
You were. Yeah. Just pick the other one. What's the favorite? Pick the other one. That's Dale's vote.
That's me. Always. I can't help it. I love an underdog. I'm a comedian at heart. I love looking at something and going, that ain't right.
I love it came down to seats. I love that it came down to seats. I can't sit here. I forget it. I'm out. Well, this is exciting, guys. We have two amazing pavilions moving on to the semifinals in France. Merci beaucoup. And Mexico.
Olé.
They're both heading to the semifinals. It's going to be great. Dale, amazing work. As always, super judge, super funny.
I also just want to say that my last name is French. My family, we're literally Jesuits. I had to pick China.
All right, guys. Well, that's a wrap today. Thanks so much for tuning in for today's show. You can find us goofing around on Instagram at We Like Theme Parks. Feel free to DM us if you want to say hi, pitch in segment idea, whatever you want. Shout us out. The music for the We Like Theme Parks podcast was composed and provided by Mike Treblecock. You can check him out at miketreblecockmusic.com. A special thank you to Dale Boyer en français, mademoiselle, merci beaucoup.
Oui, oui.
For Mark and Miriam, I'm Chris. That's all, folks. We'll see you real soon. Why? Because we like you. And we...
Zujishizu hauda. Sitting is the best.
I'll see you next week. Bye. Podcast.